Hey guys, welcome to another beautiful episode of Leadership Podcast with me, Stephen Akita, and today I'm with this very special person, you know, really, really special. And one way or the other, so how do I put it? There are some people that somehow destiny ties you, right? Whether you guys like each other or not, and she happens to be one of those people.
Like
ladies and gentlemen, TMO in the building.
Yay.
How you doing?
I'm amazing. Grateful to be here. I've been seeing the podcast and I'm wondering when my tongue will come. So I'm happy to be here.
Yes, good to see you. And where do we start from? First of all, 40. How does it feel?
Honestly, I think that I was expecting a whole lot more change.
Okay.
But I did not feel it was very... It didn't shake me.
Yeah.
And I would explain clearly why it didn't shake me. 30 shook me. When I clocked 30, I felt a disconnect with... Like, this is not the life I want.
Yeah.
I'm not doing... This is not the way I want to live my life. This is not... I'm not seeing a future that excites me based on what I am doing when I was 30.
Yeah.
Clocking 40, I don't feel that way. I feel a sense of alignment.
Yeah.
I feel a sense of growth. I feel a sense that I'm on a journey and I can... Even though I can't see the entire picture, I know that I'm on track. And as long as I continue following the steps... So, it didn't shock. I've seen many people say they wake up at 40. Their life, their mindset changed at 40. No, I think for me, it happened, that shake happened at 30. And I started making some decisions from when I became 30 that influenced me into the life I have now at 40.
Mm.
So I feel happy to be 40.
Mm.
I have a lot more gray hair to show for the journey. But other than that,
gray hair at 40.
Gray hair with real estate. I think it was
Tell
a real estate journey
that
brought the gray hair. But 40 for me was, I'd been looking forward to it.
Do you think you're wiser? I mean, people
say
with age.
I'm more vulnerable with myself.
Mm.
I'm not cocky about my weaknesses and I don't feel like one... I don't feel larger than life.
Yeah.
I'm honest about the fact that you're human.
Yeah.
You have weaknesses.
Yeah.
You are a leader.
Yeah.
You have people reporting to you.
Mm-hmm.
You are responsible for these number of lives, staff, monthly salary, and all of that. So I carry that sense of maturity and responsibility, and it's humbling.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, if you say being 40 might have made me wiser, I'll say yes. I feel much wiser than I was a decade ago, or even half a decade ago.
Mm.
I feel I can manage relationships better.
Mm.
I understand the power of relationship. I understand the power of mentoring and being mentored.
Mm.
I understand the power of friendships and connections more than ever.
Yeah.
And yes, I am willing to pay the price more.
Mm.
Before, the challenge of today, I've actually, this is my third meeting today, and you both know, I have another event today that I'm going to go to. The me of 5 years ago would not want to do this much stress. I don't like it. I would have dodged out of it. But as you get older, you know that it's not about you.
Mm.
There are some people that you're not doing it for them. You're doing it because you're not doing it for you. It's not convenient for you. You just have to do it.
True.
That's the way I see 40. Wiser, more determined, more honest with myself.
Yeah.
More loving with myself.
Yeah. More forgiving.
More forgiving of myself.
Of yourself.
Yeah. Like, you are a human.
Yeah.
They will understand.
And they don't understand.
It's okay. They'll be fine. Okay. You know. You see my intention, trust my intention. If you don't, and I explain to you and you don't believe me, which is something that really, really hurts me. I do not like being disbelieved.
Mm.
Mm. It's something that I really feel, it gets to me. When I tell you something, I'm a person of my word.
Mm.
And I really, really honor my word. So if I tell you I said yes,
mm.
and you say, no, you didn't say yes. No, it's a lie. When you argue my truth with me, I would, he gets to me. So imagine me doing real estate and you want to market land.
Yeah.
And they say, it's a lie. All of you are lying.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, it was a battle for me. Because I'm like, I don't lie. I don't. If this land is on water, I'll tell you it's water. If it is dry, I've told you it's dry land. They say, oh, that's how you will say it's dry land. We'll get there, we'll see water. I'm like, people say they. Me. So, yeah.
Put me in a separate box.
Yes, I'm not among them. You know,
but so. as you age, you just realize that people kind of mirror themselves in you.
Mm.
Right? If they don't always say the truth, they expect you not to always say the truth.
So true.
Yeah, so.
So true.
Nowadays, I'm not too angry with people because I just realize that, you just think I'm like you. Unfortunately, I'm not. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I'm not. Mm-hmm. You just think I'm
because, project.
Yes, you're just projecting yourself on me. People do that. People do that a lot. Makeup media, which one started first?
Makeup.
Makeup.
Mm.
Why makeup?
I had a natural... It wasn't a deformity. Like, my eyebrows did not complete from heaven. God just created the eyebrows halfway. And so, I always felt the need to support God to complete it. That was how I got into makeup. Just trying to complete my eyebrows. And then when I do it,
yes.
People notice and they say it's so fine. They want their eyebrows to look like my own.
Yes.
So, I ended up helping them to do and make it look like my incomplete eyebrow. And that was how I started doing... My makeup journey started with doing eyebrows. And that was because my own eyebrow was not shaped right. Mm-hmm. So, from doing eyebrow for people and making money from doing eyebrow for people, reading the story of Tara Banke, Bumi. I learned makeup from Bumi. I realized that there was an industry and I was already making money even before having any major skill.
Yes.
So I just decided that let me just even try this out and see how it goes. It wasn't even a conscious thing. I was in CAC. Typically, we don't even do makeup in my church then. So the only thing I was doing was eyebrow. And powder, and somebody just reached out to me. Uncle Akin Alabi is a music video director, and he told me that he knows that I do makeup, that he do small makeup, but I just want to do powder for some guys.
Alabi, top Alabi.
he produces. Yes, he does a lot of music videos.
They are not related.
Yes, he does a lot of our music videos, and it was just I should come and do powder, and that was how I started doing powder, and then I made the money I made because he paid me. And I gathered the money I made from him, saved 2 or 3 times, and decided to use that as my capital to train.
Mm-hmm.
So then I went into formal training, did a training. After that training, he started calling me for more jobs, bought my first box. And so my foray into makeup was like a makeup media thing.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't doing makeup for brides. I didn't start doing makeup for brides. Mm-hmm. I started doing makeup for music videos. So it was doing makeup for media. And then from... that space on, got more training, opened my studio. And I started really early. I was in school. I started doing makeup from like around 19, 20. Opened my studio at 21. So it was, I really felt this sense of, I had a strong idea of what I want to do in my life.
Mm.
I'm going to do makeup. I would open makeup studios across Nigeria. I would have people in different stores. And then I wrote it down. And a few months later, I saw Tara's publication. I know we don't have social media like we do now.
Mm.
That Tara was going to do franchising, all of that. I felt like she stole my dream and she was living my life.
Wow.
You know, but I was like, okay, she's doing it. That means I can do it, you know. And that was me, I think, around 22, thereabout.
22.
I was 22 years old.
Okay.
23 years old. Yeah. And then I met my husband, who is an entrepreneur by excellence. Yeah. And it was like, oh, let's register your business. Let's do this one. Let's do that. Did logo. Did all of that. And then I got married.
Did you meet at Dista?
Yes, we met just beside Dista, in front of the bank.
Okay.
Actually, I always say our love story started from GT Bank.
The GT Bank beside Dista.
Yes, right beside. I was like, oh, how are you? And all of that. I was like, attend Dista. I'm like, me too, attend Dista. I'm like, okay. So that was how we...
Singles.
You can meet anywhere.
Just use that line. Yes. You attend Dista.
You attend Winners.
Exactly. You attend
connect anyhow you can connect. So I started that journey and I was doing makeup, music videos, then bridal, then trainings. I've always loved to teach.
Yeah.
So one of the reasons I opened my makeup studio, I opened my makeup studio when I clocked 23, was so that I have a facility to do trainings, and I was doing trainings then. And then I got married at 25. And 26 I got pregnant with twins.
Wow.
And life changed.
Wow.
You know, I couldn't do makeup because I remember while I was pregnant with the twins that I went to do a shoot with Akialabi.
Okay.
And it was a shoot for Olamide and this guy Konga. They featured, I think Konga featured Olamide, Olamide featured Konga, and were shooting the video. Because I remember that, for me, I've never really seen Olamide apart from in that light. Like, he was so kind, because I was vomiting. I was going to rush outside the, it was Daily Times warehouse that we were using in Agidinbi then. Yeah. And I had to rush outside to vomit, and I'll come back, I'll be like, I'm so sorry, I don't know why I'm feeling like this, I did the makeup. And he was just very gracious. And as a celebrity, he was a big boy even far back then, you know. So after then, I just knew that I could not continue working until I passed this stage of giving birth. And so I think I took like a 7 months break from work. I was really sick, like it was ridiculous. And then I gave birth and you have twins. So I couldn't even do makeup after, because I couldn't understand how I would, I couldn't figure out the mother, being a mother. Talk of now doing makeup. And it was then I started watching a lot of TV.
Okay.
And from watching the TV, I saw an ad about TVC and I applied. So that was how, it was through that ad, applying for that job. I didn't get that
Did you apply to be a presenter or to do makeup?
To be a presenter.
Why?
I just thought I could do it.
You've always been free spirited.
Yes, I like trying things. I felt I could do it. I just felt, well, you know how people insult you with what is your strength and gift. I've been insulted with my height and insulted that I talk too much.
Wow.
So it's something that I've always known. The people say you talk too much, you're talking. So just keep quiet, just keep quiet. So I kept quiet for a long time in reaction to them, but I also knew that I could talk.
Yes.
So, and then this that is a church, is on big on leadership, development. Yeah. And while I, as a Dista member, I was a cell leader, I broke my cell into fellowship, into five. I became a section leader as a single girl. I was overseeing five fellowships. We're doing outreach. We're going to do, we had to do outreach as a unit. So I had to create the outreach, galvanize people older than me to buy into. So I knew that I could speak to a crowd.
You developed your leadership skill. Yes,
developed my leadership skill. So I had enough confidence to believe that I could apply and do this thing. I've been sitting there watching them on TV. What are they doing? I can do it.
Was it the same, your ones?
It was something else entirely. Okay. But I also, my husband just felt, also felt like I shouldn't have done sciences, that I was more wired to do mass comm. Why didn't I do mass communication? I said, well, if you are smart, they just push you to do sciences. So I wasn't wired to do sciences. So that was how I approached the station. I actually, literally, they asked me, do you have any background in TV? I said, no. Have you ever done radio show? No. So why are you auditioning? I said, I can talk. Literally, I was like, I can talk. And let me just face the camera and talk. So they moved me to the camera and said I should talk about something. And
you flowed.
I just did what I could do. And they shortlisted me for the second round of auditions.
Wow.
And then I now felt like, okay, crowd, let me go into an office and just chill. And the office I entered was like a makeshift reception. I felt like I was talking to a receptionist. Like when I said, ah, I came for audition, but the sun is so hot out there. I finished the first round. He said, I should wait for second round. And I just wanted to collect some EC here. And she was like, which audition? I said, ah, the one that we are doing. They said, they cannot pick you. I said, lie. You know, we're Christians. We reject anything negative in every form. I'm like, no, I've qualified for the first one. They said, I should wait for the second. I said, they can't pick you. That is for Entertainment Splash. They are looking for young people. Mind you, I told you I gave birth. Really, it was less than a year that I gave birth, so I was still looking very full.
Exactly.
She was like, they can't pick you. I reject it. She said, no, they can't pick you because it is an entertainment show. They're looking for young people, maximum 21 year old and all of that. I said, no, I just had, and you just look like you just gave birth. I said, yes, I have twins. Oh my God. And we left the story.
Yeah.
Started talking about the twins. Twin boys, she wants boy and girl. She really wants boy and girl. Her husband said, she now showed me the phone. Her husband has sown seed to have twins. That is the screensaver, all of that. We just went talking and she was like, I now told her that I wanted to go back for the audition. She said, that she would rather I audition for something else, that they had closed auditioning, but there's another show she feels I'll be better suited to.
Yeah.
So she gave me a card, Morayo Afolabi Brown.
Wow.
Deputy Director of Programs.
Wow.
And that wasn't her office. Yeah. We were renovating her office. So she was in this makeshift that was like a reception.
Yes.
I was like, okay. When I go to my husband, you don't know what happened. My darling, it's Deputy Director of Programs I met too, and all of that. So the next week, I went to now audition with Mr. Lukman Musa, who became our senior producer for Your View. Audition, had a conversation with him. He was asking all sorts of questions because they had already selected a few ladies before. And I had no background. And then they were actually favoring media background before Murayo decided that, see, what we need in Nigeria now is not some journalist professional.
Yes.
We need real people from real perspective. Mm-hmm. So she changed it a bit. But when I was coming in there, I was probably just me and Auntie Yeni were the only, even Auntie Yeni had not, Auntie Yeni was invited in as per age and all of that. So I auditioned and they were like asking from the conversation, what I could pick was, because I had a strong political leaning, I study, I listen to the news. Apparently, many women don't listen to the news. I listen to the news a lot. I watch Yori Folarin's show, and that way I understood all the nuances of the political drama, and I knew what was trending. Many of the other audition people did not know, like, who is the governor of Zamfara State? Who is the governor? Like, they don't know. People don't really know who is your governor, apart from the governor of Lagos State. They don't really know any other thing politically. So Mr. Lukman was like, oh, I like the fact that you understand. It would be good to have that voice, someone from that perspective. And from then on, I was shortlisted, went through the second one. Then it was time to do a photo shoot for the ladies that will be launched on the show. And I just reached out to Mariah to tell Mariah that I'm a makeup artist and I'm very good.
Wow.
And you guys, makeup artists, I won't want them to do my makeup, and I would not want to do my own alone, and other ladies are not looking as fine.
Yeah.
So I would like to do makeup for the ladies. Let them, their own makeup artists, not bother. So I came with my kit and my stuff, and I did makeup for all of the ladies and myself. And when the pictures came out, all the management were like, who did this? This is so nice. This is skinny girl. That passed. Fast forward to a few months later, they were going to launch TVC News. Our own program had not launched though.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, the Al Jazeera consultant was like, this makeup artist you have in TVC cannot work with me. I need a professional. Who would Mariah remember?
Yes, true.
And that was how Mariah brought me in to help train and revamp the makeup of TVC before the show started. So I started working in TVC like 3-4 months before the show started as their head of makeup and wardrobe.
Wow.
Wardrobe self was another story, honestly. Let me even just say, because somebody might learn from the story of the wardrobe. I was meant to do makeup. The day I was supposed to sign my contract for makeup, there was a drama between the wardrobe head and some staff, and that had been consistent. So they had to terminate her contract because they felt it was a bad character situation. And it was too close to when they want to launch. So they couldn't start scouting for somebody else. So it was just because of me. They were like, can you see, we have a challenge. We had to cancel a wardrobe person. Like she fought. You know, how can you work in an office? Whatever reason, how would you fight? Like you're an adult, you can verbally resolve the situation or somehow, just explain yourself. But she got into fisticuffs.
Wow.
On a day she was supposed to sign a contract. And so she did not.
It must be village people.
So that was the drama for that. And they asked me, could you do it? As usual, yours truly said,
Yes,
I can. Have I done it before?
No.
But give me a try. I'll learn and I'll do it. And that was how I resumed as head of makeup and wardrobe for TVC. Did that for 3 years. And I felt there was no other growth opportunity. And I resigned. Because I asked, what else? That's the cap. You cannot become director. You cannot become anything. That's the limit. And I felt that I want to feel a sense of growth. And if there was no other thing that would be what I'll be achieving, then I didn't want to continue doing. And by doing head of makeup and wardrobe in TVC, my own personal makeup brand went on a sabbatical. So I told myself, let me go back and do my own makeup. So I resigned from head of makeup and wardrobe TVC and started back my makeup studio. But all the while, after like 4 months of being their head, your view started. So I was doing your view as well as makeup for other people. So whether I'm on TV or not, I was in TVC and I was doing all of that together. It was so, it felt like makeup and media had always been a thing for me.
Yes.
Because that was your original question.
Yes.
I might have initially started with makeup, but media came in.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I wanted to do media as a presenter, makeup came in.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sort of like...
It's intertwined.
Yes.
Wow. How did I connect with you? I'm trying to remember.
I shot my shots.
I'm sure you remember.
I shot. You cannot remember I shot. Are you saying you did not remember?
I did not remember.
No way.
I'm telling you.
You obviously, you're very in the media.
Yes.
I don't know if you've been on our show or anything. I don't think so.
Okay.
But I saw you online and I know you were doing events.
Yes.
And I was asking, you had plenty of brand ambassadors.
Yes.
And they were all men.
Yes.
And I sent you a DM.
Wow.
And I said, why are all your brand ambassadors men?
I'm like, so what was my reply?
And you said, okay, I should come. Let's talk. It was that simple.
That's very me.
I was like, why are everybody around you? This one. There were so many guys
yes,
then. You were just doing comedians and all that.
I said, why
is it only men that you are using for your stuff? And you were like, okay, come, let's talk. And so I showed up. We had a conversation. And that was how you were like, oh, you have a concept. Because I told you that I love teaching.
Mm.
And that was my key strength. That, okay, we could do a show with you. Since I'm already doing a show on TV.
Yeah.
And you came up with a Beatles show.
Yeah.
With Bumi Davis then.
Yes.
And we did that production. And that was my first ever foray into real estate.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my mom told me, I think after a year of doing real estate, that she told me that she prayed and they said, God said that I should do real estate. And I told her that my husband will do real estate. I'm not interested. I'm a makeup artist.
Wow.
I couldn't even remember ever replying that.
Wow.
Because it was totally not in my radar.
Yeah.
But I did the Beatles show, and the Beatles show was about educating people on finance and pointing them into
real estate. Yes.
And that was even my first actual sale of real estate.
Yeah, because you also started selling.
I felt like there was money. I like money. It's not going to deny it. Now I'm more vocal about how I like money and why I need money and how it's useful to me, because poverty does not serve anybody. No,
yes.
While you can add value and be very valuable as a poor person, your influence is capped because of that. That is the constraint that the lack would put on you.
Yeah.
Mm. So I felt like it was important that I become more wealthy.
Mm.
And I saw that I was doing a show and people that were closing sales were going to be getting more commission.
Yeah.
And I looked at myself and said, this commission will look good on me.
Mm-hmm.
So I came to meet you.
Yes.
And I asked you, how much is the commission? What's the percentage of commission I will get if I close it? And you gave me. And I said, okay, let me also try my luck and post it on my page. And I sold.
Yes.
You know, and I got my commission and it felt very sweet. Oh, there's nothing sweet like commission. I'm telling you, if you've never got a commission before in your life, go and sell. So if you cannot sell, just sell.
And I think the commission was almost the amount you were collecting for hosting the show.
Yeah, it was really good.
Yes.
Yeah, the commission
I think it was
really
almost,
good.
You know, it was...
No, it was a six-figure commission. It was good. I was extremely happy. I was happy with the pay.
Mm.
I was happy with the opportunity to earn. You know, one of the things that I now do as a real estate player is I tell my team that any job that does not give you flexibility to or that does not give you the ability to determine what you earn puts a cap on you.
Mm.
Like if you work somewhere.
That's true. I agree.
If I work more.
Yeah.
If you tell me.
And my salary is still fixed. Despite that, I work harder. Doesn't make sense.
I want you to give me room.
I agree.
So that if I do more, I see the results.
I agree.
So, for me, that's one of my love for real estate, is that any month I slack, it will show in my account balance. And any month that I do well, it will show in my account balance as well. So that was how I did, and then my friends did, cashew plantation. We did cashew with my friends. And so I started selling cashew in Ogbomosho, cashew land, and then also selling GTEx properties in 2020.
That was
the way makeup media now entered.
I'm sure it was
real estate.
Was it before COVID?
It was during, it was barely after COVID. After COVID, yes. Yeah. It was still within that same COVID year.
Yes.
But it was barely after COVID.
Yeah.
We were coming out of the same. COVID, it was part of the reason I had to send it, because I was looking at my account balance. And I'm like, because I wasn't doing, makeup wasn't like that. Mm-hmm. Because generally...
The income from makeup. Definitely is not like
realistic. It wasn't even at that. COVID shut down the makeup industry.
Yes.
So the real money I made from makeup was from teaching more than service.
That's true.
But so we were not doing teaching or anything. Yeah, so it was a case of, okay, we're not making money from teaching. I dusted my life coaching certification. Mm-hmm. I started doing public speaking masterclass, life coaching. So still, I was okay, let me just even try. I can MC, I can host now. Yes. This man is looking for MC and Nico. He's always having ambassadors and all of that. Let me just enter. So I signed brand ambassadorship deal. And it was a really beautiful experience. It wasn't necessarily my comfort zone at all.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Because I wasn't doing...
Yeah.
Really, so I had to go to sites.
Yeah.
We would be outside shooting video under the sun.
Yeah.
You know, as you can see, the land behind me. As you can see, the ladder I'm standing on, you know, and it was part of the experience I needed for my own journey. Because when I started my own real estate journey and I was going to start selling, I knew that exposure. I could stand on the land and say, as you can see, this bush, put your money there. Because I see people put money in your own bush. So if I have a valid bush, put your money in there. It would appreciate. By the time I clear this bush, the bush will appreciate. Yeah. Come and buy. And they bought.
Yes, they did.
You know, so that was...
I mean, and that speaks about, you know, if you are not faithful in that which is another man, we will give you your own. You know, because I see... By the way, a lot of people have reached out to me after you went to real estate. Oh, I need to help me. I saw your influence in TMO. You know,
and they had no idea. People need to realize that when I came to host the Beatles show, I had no interest or idea in real estate. I just did what they say. I was faithful with the assignment that he gave me.
That's true.
And in that faithfulness, I saw money. I mean, the money started making me rethink the plan. But I didn't even still make that decision then. But really, it was... Sometimes people are thinking... Will come to you and say, I want to do real estate.
Yes.
I just laugh because... I didn't really, it wasn't clear when I got my first experience.
It wasn't, and I think that's why people should just accept and do things well, because you don't even know. Because there are sometimes people come to me and I'm like, okay, why not start as an intern? No, that's what I'm looking for. Mm. You know, some other people, okay, why not start as a property broker? No, I want to be a developer.
Continue.
So, I want to be a developer. You can see, and I'm like, some people you want to compare yourself with, you don't know the story, you don't even know the background. Because for many who knew us then, they just knew you were hosting for me, and boom, you started development. And people didn't even know the backstory, they didn't even know that you didn't really technically start with development, you were selling for people, just that it was your brand before you then gradually ease into owning some of those properties yourself. So,
I always say that I was, I started as a realtor.
No, people don't know. Because, you know, the way you start your realtor.
Yes.
They were saying your company brand.
Yeah, my company brand. Yeah.
You see now. Yeah. So a lot of people don't know. So, you know, at least those who are reaching out to me. Mm. It's like, she was with you for a while and boom. You know, she's a developer.
I don't think I even acquired in the first year.
Exactly.
I think it was the end of the first year.
But people don't know that, you know, and that's why podcasts like this are good for people to understand. This thing is not, it's a journey. It's not, you know, success is a journey. It's not something you just boom and then you blow and then boom, you're everywhere. It takes a while. There's a learning curve, the journey, and just be faithful with whatever it is.
As it comes into your hands
and just do it with your heart. I think that's very powerful. One of the most remarkable experiences I'll never forget is NSAS. You know, because then you were with TVC hosting, but you also come host for us, I think, 3 times a week or something. And I remember sending you that message.
No, you sent me the message before it.
Yes, I know. You know, sending you that message that, hey, I'm not sure you should go to work on this day.
You know,
the feedback I'm hearing, you know, something might happen. And sometimes my instinct is that very strong. I may not have data to back something up, but I can just feel it. You know, and I was shocked watching the news and they were like, people in TVC. What did you learn from that experience?
So, for those that did not know, you sent me a message the night, I think that morning, was the morning of that event. And I was going to drive myself to work as usual. Because of your message, my husband decided to drive me to work. I tried to wear, you told me to wear sneakers.
Yes.
You said wear sneakers so that in case anything happens, you are able to. It helped. So I was smart. I was dressed smart. And when the fire incidents happened, because I'm always out for opportunity. I had this, whatever your hand find it to do. I just wanted to do something. So even in my car, at every point in time inside my car, you would see my full makeup box, camera, everything. Like, in case somebody just calls me now and I'm already in TVC, I head up straight. I'm not saying I have to go home. It's one of the challenge I had with my makeup that I was telling you before we came on the recording, because I called my staff yesterday that runs the makeup studio that I want to do makeup. I said, hey, makeup is in the studio and they will not open the place until 9 a.m. So it means that if you have an emergency job, you can't do it. That's not the way me I was running this business. So but I just left and moved on. But that's the way I was. So in my car that day was my camera, my makeup tools. It felt like my office was in my car. And I went to the studio. And I didn't even think of it that even after you called me to remove those things. But all in my head was, I'm smart, I can run. I get into my car and I move. And then we got to the office and we found out that they were already looting. They had come into TVC. That was when we were on air. Just me, Mariah and I were the only ones on TV. Because every other person did not show
cancelled.
Up.
Cancelled. You had the bold, yes, the two bold, brave women.
So only Mariah and I and a few cameramen were around. I think just one or two. And then one producer, Dolakbo. And we saw the cameramen were whispering that they have entered into the compound. Then Mariah was like, she's not hearing anything again.
Wow.
But that we should just continue talking. At least we're still on air.
Wow.
Even though they had entered. The next thing was they had entered into the office, that they're already inside the office. We are still on air.
Wow.
I was like, signaling Mariah, like, inside. They are like, you know, outside is inside the office. Wow. It was at that point that she could not hear anything from the prison anymore, because those were said, they've left the MCR away. And all of that. And we were still forming like we are speaking truth to power on TV until we now saw with our monitor that we were off air. And at that time, you could now start hearing the noise of the people, the hoodlums inside the studio already. The studio is usually soundproof. So for us to hear the noise, they must have been, you know that it was really, really bad. So we used chairs to barricade the door as a way to sort of protect ourselves that they will not get to us. So Mariah was calling the commissioner, calling PRO, let's see what we can do. They said, just stay put. That stay put, we'll try and radio and get some people to come and rescue you. But she was calling everybody, and then social media already knew that we were trapped, something was going on, we went off air, what's happening? Then we found out she now went live on Instagram. It was from her Instagram live. Like, people were now commenting, the building is on fire.
Wow.
Like, we were inside the building, the building was already on fire. They were like, people better leave that building. Your building is on fire. Your building is on fire. Mariah was like, our phone went off. So I went online. I went live too, so that I could see what was going on. They now told me the building was on fire. You need to leave. Mariah said, of course, she's lived abroad from every fire drill. You can't be in the house when the house is on fire. That we need to get out of that place. There was a fire exit. Apart from the one we barricaded. So we went out through the fire exit. And by the time we were going out there, those hoodlums had come to that area too.
Wow.
Obviously, they probably were wondering if we were inside and we did not come out through the front.
Yes.
We are going to come out through the back. So they went to the back and met us there. Took my phone, my little phone. I was going to make money from GTX then. Collected my phone. collected Mariah's phone, smacked Mariah, pushed me.
Jesus.
Misha, as I was walking past, as we're there now, trying to explain to them that, guys, no. He said, you're part of them. We're not part of them. We're like you. Well, all of us are Nigerians. Like, we're not, which them are you talking about?
Exactly.
I'm not a politician. I'm not hitting politics money. Mm-hmm. Like, I am a salary earner, and I'm on air today to speak on behalf of
You people.
You people. All of us that were facing it together. So, but while we're explaining and doing all those explanations, they were like, they're balcony, and all of that. That was how some guys just came in. And they were like, they were sent to. They were not, they're not too sure. They're like senior. They came in and told them to leave us alone and held Mariah's hand, held my hand and said, follow me. So they now took us to their house.
Yeah.
As we were walking, I saw fire burning some things. I didn't think my car was among the things that were being burnt.
Wow.
But we were walking past and I assumed my husband was around. He would have driven out. So they took us to that place. Of course, our phones were off. They couldn't reach us. But I had two phones, and I had an iPhone and my business phone.
Mm.
So I hid my iPhone inside my bra and held the other one. I knew that if you don't have a phone to give them, it would be crisis. Yes. So let me give them the cheaper phone. That one, they quickly collected it and felt they were okay. So I had, but it was off. By the time we settled a bit and felt like it was calm, I brought out the phone from the ground. let me call my husband to find out what is going on and all of that. And I saw my friends had called and all of that. We're like, how are you doing? I pray for you. I pray for you. Actually, even when we left the building, it still felt like our life was at risk.
Wow.
Because if it was, it felt like we were being personally targeted.
Yes, yes.
Because the hoodlums still came to where to hiding to see they should release us.
Can you imagine?
Into their hand. And that would have meant we are probably, you know, it could have been like a jungle justice situation. Let's just, this if we deal with these people, they will know we are serious, kind of. It would have just been statistics, numbers, and all of that. So I still felt like we felt we're unsafe, and they actually shot into the air. Wow. It was their gunshot that brought the army vigilante. And all of that. Okay. The army now came. You know where with the vigilante, where with the other dogs.
Okay, yes.
It was the army that now came with police, and then now came to meet us there, and then told us that they had suppressed and dispersed them, and that we can now go home. Of course, my husband, that first used leg to run away, said when he ran out, he was asking himself, like, Joe, where am I running to? I'm going to go and meet my children and say that I left my wife. So he ran back into the place and was begging the police. That gentleman, I didn't want to recount that side, because it was like he was begging them, they should come back with him, and they didn't go back. And he saw them outside. It was like, my wife is still inside there. She still, they still went live on Facebook. They are still inside the house, and the house is on fire. Let me go back. So he later now found out that they had rescued us and came to meet me. His eyes were, he had like a, his eyes were red, but that wasn't even it. It was the next morning. I feel like a vessel must have burst into it. They were like, maybe it's a pressure that it must have been, that is not, it, nothing hit his eye. It was from inside.
Jesus.
It was really bad, because I know for over a week, his eyes still had that stuff. They checked it and they were like, you should just have to wait it out, that the body will heal itself and it should rest, that it's blood pressure or something that must have affected. It was a really, really tense situation for us. And we drove to the office and walked back home. And then I came back to the office the next day to look for my car. And I was seeing alloy melted on the floor. They say, ah, this must be where, this is where I parked. I say, so this must be our car. Burnt to ashes completely. I saw my camera lens, the leftover. I brought it out. I have pictures of it holding what was left of my camera carcass. Now you see, for me, those my camera were like my investment. They were I wasn't buying cars or doing all of that. Every money I had, I was buying latest equipment, latest makeup products, because I felt this is what is making me money, so I must invest back into it. So I felt like they just burnt my everything. So it was a really low point.
What's your the biggest lesson for you?
A year after, it was like, Ilie Batojo, no. It didn't even take 3 months for God to show up.
Yes.
Like, it didn't even...
Yeah.
It was... You came to our house.
Yes,
I did. You know we moved that year.
Yeah. Yeah, you moved to Magodo.
Like, I've been in that house for 10 years. We moved to that same 2020. Like, the way God, the way God showed up, it was like a case of, I needed to burn your past.
Come on.
It was like I needed to burn your attachments. I needed to free you.
Yeah.
Because if I did not experience that fire, I wouldn't do real estate.
That's true.
I was angry.
That's true.
My camera was burnt. Makeup was burnt.
That's true.
I started buying foundation and I'm buying.
Yeah.
I was like, there must be something from, there must be something else. And the thing is, that day was the third day me and my friends were fasting. So my friend Olamide Yemisi and I, with one of our other Egbon Agbakin, four of us were fasting and praying, and we're praying every hour, like every prayer hour.
Oh.
So I felt like this is the, God cannot answer my prayer by burning up my assets. I didn't have land. I didn't have a plot of land in 2020. Not one plot.
Wow.
All my money was in my equipment and everything got burned. That year was when I bought that car. Yeah. That car was bought that year. So I felt like, God, you gave me a miraculous car this year. Wow. It burnt. All my equipment burnt. No, there must be something. There must be something from this experience. Like, what is going to happen? And after that event, I just went into, and I wasn't on the show.
Mm.
And you know, I'm a contract staff. When I don't work, I don't get paid.
Mm.
So, no car, no makeup, no photography. Stephen Akitayo's contract had expired. So, no income from Stephen Akitayo.
Yeah.
No salary from any firm.
Wow.
I'm in a house that I was like, we should move from this house. We saved money, bought the car. The next thing was we're saving money towards the house. So it was now a case of mother's like, should we convert our house money into my other car? I said, no, we're leaving this house. We're leaving. And just like that, something just, you know, when this holy anger and discontent about this is not the level I'm meant to be in.
So.
This is not the life I want to have.
Yeah.
This is not where, as like I was angry in my spirit. I'm like, God, no. I mean, like, this is, I went into the promises. This is not the life. And I prayed and prayed and prayed, but I also did the work. I attended
the
conference. Yeah. And I would like into the conference. I couldn't pay for the conference. I just called Pastor Nia this way. I said, Pastor, you are doing conference. I'm coming.
Yeah.
He said, what will you do? I said, I'll do MC. He said, we have MC already. Sako is MC. And I say, sir, I'll moderate panel. I say, I will moderate panel.
Yeah.
I will be there. He said, we don't have panel. I say, I'll do red carpet interviews. I'm telling you, anyhow, I will be there.
I noticed, I don't know whether you remember as well, that was actually when you came back and also asked to also start any commission. Your first leg of your contract was just anchoring. It didn't involve selling. Right? It was after the experience, selling.
I needed money.
Yes. Selling added
We went for the money.
Yes.
We were not going to settle. And that Tachere makeup money was not going to get me there. So I attended the Nia Adesua Leadership Bootcamp.
Yeah.
And I attended that bootcamp from a place of fasting and prayer. See, I cannot say my story without talking about the influence of the impact of grace and faith and God.
That's true.
So I attended that conference, and while I was there, I was sitting, I was asking.
What year was that?
That same 2020. It was October. Nia Adesanya does his conference in November. It was just after. So I was still not working. I was still not earning. And I was still questioning. Like, God, what is the next level? There must be something else. There must be a lesson. Like, you won't take people through tests without a testimony. There must be a lesson in this space.
Yeah.
So I was at that event with that hunger and question in my heart. Yeah. And while I was there, the first speaker, real estate, billions, billions, billions. Second speaker, oil and gas.
Yeah.
Third speaker, real estate, billions, billions, billions. But there was something about the way the third speaker spoke.
Yeah, yeah.
They were a partnership.
Okay.
There were two of them. And one of them was speaking, and he spoke about his values, his journey of faith. And as he was talking about his values, I felt like he was describing me.
Yeah.
He was describing my tenacity, the hunger to live an impactful life.
And you are hungry.
You know, and a teaching. he spoke about how he loves teaching. Yeah. I'm like, I love teaching.
Yeah.
As he was describing himself, I felt like he was describing me. So as I was writing it, I'm like, Monique, I have these things. If these were the things that made you a billionaire in real estate, I'm going to enter and become a billionaire in real estate. So, and you know when God gives you leverage, my TV presence is a leverage, and I don't take it for granted. I'm truly grateful for the opportunity that I got from being on TV.
Yeah.
Because it made it easy to approach people.
Absolutely.
They sort of know you.
They kind of know you.
Yeah. When I went to meet him after the event, of course, I was doing red carpet, so I had to interview him. After interviewing him, and I told him that, Oga, you see this real estate thing? I want to do it.
Mm.
I want to do it like the way you are doing it. The way you are doing it, he said, give me my card, meet me in the office. So I went to meet him in December in the office, and I told him, I want to do this thing. He said, how I started, I was a realtor that I was selling for Dr. Olumide. And he said, see, you might think I'm your mentor, but Dr. Olumide is my mentor.
Mm.
And he would give you more attention than me. That reach out to Dr. Olumide, buy his real estate course. And he gave me that information in December.
Yeah.
And that very moment, I had Dr. Olumide's number. I've met him on TV. Mm. I called him, Doctor, I want to buy real estate course. So he gave me Paul Mark's number. I said, call him. So I called and I bought the wealth pack and the real estate pack, and I started watching it till December. By January 2021, I went to Dubai with you.
Yeah.
And everybody was talking about their goals and all of that. So that's you would think like I'm a very spontaneous person. When I sound, I just move. So it wasn't like it was pre-planned. I knew that I wanted to do real estate, but I had not created how I was going to
go about it.
Because the offer I had got was the best way for you to start. You don't have capital. Yes. You don't have money.
Start as a broker.
You have to be
a broker. Everybody's learning. Start as a broker.
Be a broker. Start as a
and be loyal as
So really, I had that conversation. I looked at it that, okay, I was talking to the person I spoke with that spoke at the event, Dr. Sonia Lorishi. I was like, this is the person I spoke with, and he's the one that told me that go and meet Dr. Olumide. So I went back to meet him after I came back from Dubai with you. So because I went to Dubai with you on a trip as per sales incentive.
Yes.
When I came back, I went to meet him and I told him that, okay, sir, I've come back. I really want to do this thing. How can we do it? How can you help me? Then he told me that he has some people that he partners with that they sell. If you want to do real estate, build your brand, sell with your company name, and sell these products. So he gave me three estates that I could sell for him that he felt, and we signed a contract.
Yeah.
I like putting a date to something. I said, I want to launch on the 1st of February.
Yeah.
So when I was meeting with him just like at middle of, like I just came back, I was like, I want to launch on the 1st of February. I don't want to sell without having any contract signed. That gives me
confidence
or even gives me validity that I actually have a right to sell this thing. So, and I didn't have a lawyer. So it was his lawyer that drafted the contract and all of that. We had registered Rep360 for years. Mm. So it was a name we already had. Mm. I just used that name and say, my mother was like, let's use this name. We're not using the company, let's use it. Yeah. So we started using the name, called my husband's friend, Mr. Edem, who's a graphic designer, to the living room in our dining room. Ben quickly designed redesign the logo, do landing page myself with MailChimp, and
boom.
On 1st of February, I posted a video. I am pregnant. I'm going to give birth. And then in the evening, I said, I've given birth to is my real estate business. And that was how I launched Rep360. Right in just within my living room with a contract to sell a few plots. They allocated to me that because I was a bit concerned that what if other people are selling and it sells out? Anyone just sell this number of plots in these three estates and sell within three months. Oh,
you went all out.
As in,
all out.
I'm like, I have to make money. This month will not end without me selling. I've not had a month since February 2021 that I did not sell. I must sell. By the third week of that month. It wasn't a big deal
because you're already selling before time as well.
No, it wasn't.
Just that this time around, it has your brand name.
I was going to Mowi Mowe was backyard for me. Pion, where are you? My husband called me, I was like, ah, I quickly went to Mowe to go and do video. But it was, I've not, even what you said I've sold, with GTX, I didn't sell up to like 10.
Yeah, yeah.
It was just more high tickets.
Yes.
So if all your sales, you've only done 10 sales and you now want to start a company, there's still that fear that, how are we going to do it? Then I had
the hunger does, and I think people need to learn this. You know, one of the things Dr. Cosmos always says that your mentor can give you wisdom, can give you advice, but he can't give you hunger. And what
you must want
it. Exactly. And what ultimately makes the difference is the hunger.
Yes. That's what will wake you up.
Is the hunger.
It will make you post, it will make you edit.
Exactly. You must be hungry. That's why a lot of the children of wealthy people don't replicate their wealth.
They're not as hungry.
They even have the knowledge. They see their parents do business, but they're not as hungry. And that hunger factor is really critical.
They also need to be courageous. You told me.
Yeah.
There was something you told me. You said that you need to have, you said aya. There was something you said about having, not the heart. There was a way you described it, like English we call it courage, but there was a way you described it. It wasn't just courage, it was like that spirit to dare.
Yes, audacity.
Yes. Yeah. It's the audacity to say I'm going to do it. Mm-hmm. I will do it regardless.
Exactly.
We'll make it work.
We just have to.
It's a big deal. You can't lead without audacity.
You can't.
A fearful person can't lead any other person because
and not the real estate sector.
Mm-mm.
I mean, I've heard you share some stories before we came on camera. And I'm like, oh, girl. Welcome to the sector.
No, I had a 2023 was a battle.
You must have got.
I've never prayed like I prayed in this real estate. 2023. Fasting and prayer. No, you will.
You must have got. Yes, it's not one of those easy business to do. It's but I'm happy for you. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Your courage, your expansion. Congratulations.
Thank you for the part you play unconsciously. So we might not discuss it, but you know, one of the things that I've seen, there are two people that I look at that inspire me, that when I'm feeling tired, I'll be like, see, look at it. Stephen Akintayo is not hungry. And yet, he's posting, he's traveling, he's doing video. As he lands, he's doing video. As he's going, he's writing, he's posting, they're doing broadcasts. And I start like, I just got Stephen Akintayo's broadcast. I said, so if you dare tell me that we are broadcasting too much, you are not hungry. Because if a Stephen Akintayo is doing broadcasts, then you are saying, I should not do broadcast. You're not ready. We're going to do podcast. I want to do, if I'm working on my podcast.
Okay.
And my husband was like, what do you want to do? I said, Dr. Lumide. As podcast plenty rich, he started podcast.
Yeah.
Stephen Akintayo started podcast. You cannot tell me that I should not do, but I am going to do podcast. He was just laughing at me. I said, because I look at this. Today, you are in Dubai. Tomorrow, you going through Doha. We do Qatar training. Then we land in Houston. Then we do Canada. Dr. Lumide is doing. I say, so who am I to say I will not do? So when I went to Canada, I did an event.
Nice.
I was like, it was not convenient because I had the kids. I was tired. I fell down. Like I had a terrible fall in Canada that was in pain.
Wow.
That I shouldn't even be stressing myself. I said, no, these people, they are doing it. You have to do it.
What we call Okunrin Meta. I always call you that. Three male in one.
I know.
You know? So,
I look at what you're doing and I tell myself that if he is, and that's the thing about what is Jesus saying that we should do? We should look at him and say, do more.
Yeah.
And so I look at some people, I look at you, I look at Dr. Olumide Emmanuel. And because we're aligned,
we
teach,
yeah,
we do real estate, we are faith-based people. So I look at people that we share strengths and values, and I'm like, if they are doing what they are doing, then if I follow them, follow yeah. Huno Road, you don't Absolutely. Go lost. Mm. So follow Huno Road. So if you see that they are doing and they are moving yeah. and it's working for them, that's how I come to Banana Island. So hallelujah, somebody. Yeah. Because
welcome.
Banana is
come and join us. You know, I mean my philosophy, and you know this, is the earth is big enough, is wide enough.
There's abundance.
You know, the more the merrier. And I think maybe because of our faith base, we kind of have that mindset. And I see people play all this, you know, protectionist attitude.
It's small-minded.
I just like,
they might have money, but they're small-minded.
Exactly.
I don't feel like we are doing this podcast.
Yeah.
Your customer is not my customer. Even if it is the same person, they are buying from us for different
exactly.
reasons. And there is enough.
It's enough.
There are enough citizens.
I don't need to pull one person down mm-hmm. to fly. I don't. And I beg everyone watching this, as you go into business, don't join those culture. You know, they...
Be deliberate.
Yeah.
Don't find yourself with backbiters. Someone. Is someone.
Yes.
Don't sit in the seat of the
scuffle. Don't sit in the seat don't of
stand
the scuffle.
Don't stand where backbiters are standing.
Yes. Don't do it. Because it's a seed that, you know, you will reap multiple. For I tell people, you don't reap what you sow. You reap more than you sow.
Many.
You also may not reap where you sow, but you reap when you sow.
Yeah, you reap that thing you sow.
Two powerful things. Mm. So, if you leave me and TMO, we'll be here forever.
We are both gisters. And we are value-driven gisters, people.
Yes.
I'm happy. I'm really... Thank you for inviting me.
You're welcome.
I've enjoyed the conversation the podcast and even during the podcast.
Yeah.
It's enlightening. And I hope people will
learn. We should do more of it.
Yes, yes.
Guys, we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.